Barry Jones, the Alabama great, now ESPN radio analyst, is with us on the Pepsi Hotline. He was in Tuscaloosa Saturday night for the Bama-Tennessee game. What's up, Barrett? How are you?
How are we doing, guys?
Doing
Jim,
great.
Thank you for once for not segueing to me on that one. I appreciate that.
You know, you looked a little sluggish Saturday night after the game.
Having kids will do that to you.
No doubt.
So you got a chance to watch Alabama, and you know this from having played and keeping up with the program, that even in wins, fans can be critical of what they've seen. And there was plenty of sloppy play to criticize for a team that won the game going away, basically, if you just look at the final score.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, look, you're right. The final score was not really indicative. We were saying the whole time on the broadcast, at some point, Alabama's running so many plays offensively. In Tennessee, we know depth is an issue for them with all the players they've had that have left. It's going to catch up with them. And you saw in the fourth quarter where Alabama just scored 28 points. It finally did. But it was a football game for a while, especially in the first half. And obviously, you looked up at one point at the end of the first quarter even, and Tennessee had a 14-7 lead. And so There were definitely some issues. I think that probably the surprising thing was, you look at the numbers coming into that game. You know, Tennessee is one of the top six teams in the country at running the football. The run defense for Alabama was actually pretty good. I was a little concerned with that. I know the overall season numbers are pretty good for Alabama, but you look at some of the better rushing attacks they've faced this year, like Florida. You know, gave up over 200 yards to Florida on the ground. So I thought Tennessee might be able to run the football a little bit. And I was actually pleasantly surprised for Alabama with how they stopped the run, how they defended the run. Thought they did a good job defending the ground game. But it was the secondary, really, that had some holes and surrendered some really big plays. And I think probably the people who are upset are thinking about going up against other elite passing attacks and thinking that they might be a little bit nervous facing some of those. So, you know, I get it. You know, at the end of the day, this is not an Alabama team that's quite as dominant, obviously, as the team last year, maybe even some of the other teams that we've seen in the past. But they're still really good. And I think they still have a chance to win the national championship. And obviously, it's going to come down to some of the games they're playing later on in the season.
Bryce Young is playing fantastic football, and he seems like he's getting more comfortable running the football. Pulled his best Kyler Murray this past Saturday night, and I brought this up in the first hour. I don't know if you agree with it, Barrett. It seems like he's masking some of the problems this offensive line has got with his ability to elude.
There's no doubt. I mean, look, I'm an O-line guy. There's big problems at right tackle right now. I mean, really, they're doing a lot of things to try to mask them, to try to chip, try to put a tight end over there. But there's a lot of pressure coming from that direction. And every film I put on, they're putting their pass rusher on that side and tell him to go get the quarterback. And it's tough. It's tough for Bryce Young right now. Look, for a guy that came into the game with -2 rushing yards on the season, you would have never known that if you turned on the tape. I mean, he was unbelievable on some of those runs. Not like he just ran and ate up some space when everybody had their back turned in man coverage. He made some unbelievable plays with his legs, and I was super impressed with him in person. You know, probably the most impressive moment of the night, and the moment in my mind that was really over, was 3rd and 14 in that fourth quarter. I think I want to say they only had a 7-point lead at the time. I thought Tennessee was about to get the football back, and he throws this beautiful post route over the middle to Jamison Williams, does Bryce Young, right into the breadbasket. I thought it was a beautiful throw and really an aggressive throw to take that kind of shot at that point in the game on a 3rd and 14. I thought it was a great moment, and he really has continued to get better. Man, talking to the coaches, they absolutely love this guy. Bill O'Brien loves him. Coach Saban loves him. Everybody loves his work ethic, which I think is a huge testament to him considering what he's had to face this year with NIL and, you know, Coach Saban telling everybody he's a millionaire before he ever took a snap. I mean, that's a lot for a young kid. And he's handled it really, really well, and he's continued to get better each week.
Barry Jones is with us on the Pepsi Hotline here in the next round with LTD&B. I don't want to, you know, bash Chris Owens or question Nick Saban and the coaching at all, but it seems like in years past, there's a lot of shuffling along the offensive line if things aren't going right. And then by about this time of year, you settle into a pretty good groove on the offensive line. And if there's been a young guy with the ability to break into the lineup, you've seen him by now. Do you hear anything about the great offensive line recruits that were brought in that is they're just not performing in practice that's getting them into the game? Why aren't we seeing some of these guys?
It's a great question, Jim. That's why you're the best in the business. Those are the exact questions I asked to a lot of the staff members when I was there. And, you know, I got various pieces of information and tidbits, but I would just sum it up with a no. You know, I think that there are a lot of people that feel like that none of the other players are ready yet. Obviously, that's an astute observation. I'm sure that they would prefer to have a young guy there that maybe was a little more talented, could make some mistakes and break them in. But, you know, for whatever reason, they haven't done that. So, you know, I've got a pretty good trust level with Coach Saban and the job he's done. I mean, obviously he wants to win games. We know that this is a guy who changed quarterbacks with an undefeated team in the middle of the national championship game. So he's not afraid to make moves. And so the fact that he hasn't obviously says that he thinks that the moves are not ready to be made yet. So I'm thinking the same thing, and I think a lot of people, frankly, are thinking the same thing, but I guess there are some reasons why that move hasn't been made yet that are above all of our pay grades.
Barrett Jones is with us. You can hear him on ESPN Radio at Barrett A. Jones on Twitter if you would like to follow him there. He's with us on the Pepsi Hotline. Look, beyond Alabama, I was super critical of Josh Heupel. He's got them playing hard. And I thought, Barrett, watching that game, he squeezed about every bit of juice out of them he could. That's not a good roster. And you were going against Alabama in Tuscaloosa. And I know, again, the score doesn't indicate this. I thought he got about everything out of them he could in that game.
I agree. I mean, I think if you're a Tennessee fan, man, you got a lot to be excited about. I mean, this is there's not a ton of talent on that roster. And but the guys that are playmakers, he's figuring out how to get them the ball in space. And I think that the offense is exciting. I mean, I see a lot of fast-paced offenses. I mean, that's obviously all around the country. By far, I'm going to say by far the fastest offense I've seen this year. I mean, unbelievable. And, Jim, you were there, like, in person. It's hard to – on the big plays even. Like, usually after a big play, you know, you're going to have a, you know, 20-second delay. Everybody's kind of getting up or jogging down the field. I mean, everyone's just sprinting down the field, immediately lining up before you knew what hit them. I mean, I think it's so hard to practice that. I mean, people don't realize how difficult it is to simulate that in practice because obviously the scout team does not know the offense. So how do you tell the scout team, you know, to take 15 seconds between plays when they have no clue, you know, what they're supposed to do when they're running Tennessee's offense? I think that, you know, so you could tell the defense for Alabama, like, they had practiced it, but it still kind of shocked them. You know, after that first big play and everyone's sprinting down there, they're signaling to get lined up, trying to figure out what's going on. And boom, there's the ball, you know, going over their head for a touchdown. So, yeah, I do think it affected Alabama, and I think it's affected a lot of teams this year, seeing it on film, that the pace is just so fast. Now, obviously, the downside to that is you saw a lot of penalties. That's when you play that fast, you're going to have a bunch of false starts, unless you're just a super disciplined team. And, man, that really, in a lot of ways, would have made it a much closer game. I think Tennessee had 9 penalties in that first half. And it was still only down a touchdown. So you think about if they had been a little bit cleaner offensively, and obviously you'd think the further they get into the system, hypothetically, or maybe hypothetically, if you will, the cleaner they'll get.
Not only are they moving so fast, they put stress on the Alabama defense. They apparently put stress on the Tennessee defense as well. Those guys, they do not rush back to the line of scrimmage. I tweeted this during the game. Hats off to the Tennessee training staff. They're unable to take a play off when Tennessee's defense on the field. Do you think some of that's intentional?
I thought you were going to say it's also really tough. In some ways, it was actually really easy for me to call the game because I just knew when Tennessee was on offense that I was not going to get to talk at all. It was just all Sean. It was just all play-by-play because literally as soon as he called one play, he had to call the next play. There was no time for me at all. And then when Alabama had the football, there was plenty of time. So do I think it was intentional? I think it's really hard right now. Like, it's so murky for announcers, for fans, because obviously you hear the fans booing and, you know, you kind of get it, but it's also just kind of a bad look to boo a guy when he's, you know, hurt. Because then, obviously, what if he actually is hurt? And, you know, what are you supposed to do as the ruling body? How do you enforce if someone's actually hurt or not? You know, it's such a difficult situation, especially, let's be honest, in this day and age of player safety and concussions and all this different stuff, and also just the climate in general of culture. How do you tell a guy not to lay on the field? So I don't know what they're going to do about it. There's certainly – I made the joke several times, to which my producer told me that only probably half of our listeners got it, that I thought that they must have had Mr. Miyagi in the tent, because there were a lot of guys that were really in some serious pain, and all of a sudden Mr. Miyagi rubbed those hands together, and then that, you know, two plays later they were right back in looking very spry. So I don't know if they just brought him on full-time or what, but there was a lot of that going on.
So Will Anderson, 15 tackles for loss. He leads the nation in that category, 8.5 sacks, leads the SEC. He's a true sophomore. Right now, from the minute you started watching Alabama football, played Alabama football, covering Alabama football, where does he rank on guys that you played with and have seen?
Wow. That's a great question. He's definitely one of the best pure pass rushers I've ever seen. I think his motor is part of what makes him special, too. I mean, every once in a while you get a combination of a guy who is extremely talented, extremely gifted, and also just has a relentless attitude, and that's Will Anderson to me. I'm trying to think of someone who I've seen who's a better pure pass rusher than him. I mean, NFL teams have to just be salivating over this guy. I mean, he's such a perfect fit for, you know, what you're looking for in an outside guy right now in the NFL. And obviously Alabama's very lucky to have him. He's so gifted. And I think, honestly, he really has just begun to scratch the surface of his potential, in my opinion. I mean, he's awesome. He's really just winning a lot of times on just pure physical abilities. I think as he continues to grow and learn different moves and different things he can do on the perimeter, he's just going to continue to get better, and he has the kind of work ethic to do it. So he's awesome. He really has exceeded my expectations even this season with the way he's played, and I thought he had another really good game against Tennessee.
Your colleagues on the TV side haven't announced where they're taking College Game Day. We were discussing that earlier. Do you know where you're headed yet for Saturday? I'm assuming you do.
I do know where I'm headed. I'm headed to jump around in Wisconsin. I got Wisconsin, Iowa. So I'm heading up to Madison. Never been up there before. Pretty excited.
Well, you'll have plenty of time to talk between plays
goodness.
There.
Yeah. Offense.
Well, you could do a dissertation between plays in that game.
You know, when you're an announcer, you think about those kind of things. And this is like the game within the game always for announcers, is trying to make it to the airport when you have an 11 o'clock game. So we all have like 5 o'clock flights. And so, you know, we're rooting for a lot of ground game.
You'll get it.
A lot of running clock, yep. Maybe a 3-hour game. Who knows?
Yep, you'll get it. No problem making that flight.
Are you kidding me? You're going to Wisconsin this week?
Hmm. Wisconsin. Well,
they set this preseason. Don't they set them preseason, Barrett?
They do. Is that a bad game?
100% it was a shot at the game you're doing. Yes.
Well, I think a lot of your crew, I was wanting you at a bigger game this week.
Ole Miss Auburn is probably the best game in the country this week.
Well, I'm sorry to let you down, Jim. Unfortunately, we need to put you – I'll call Jimmy Pitaro and tell him Jim Dunaway is going to take over the company. I don't know. He was actually at the game. It was – talk about nerve-wracking. I never met the biggest of the big bosses at ESPN were over there walking on the sideline with Greg Sankey, and I was talking to him. So anyway, you know, trying to do my best impression, I guess.
This is going to shock you. I think I could do Jimmy's job better.
Well, I'm going to leave that one there.
Hey, by the way, Wisconsin did not complete a pass in the final 44 minutes and 16 seconds Saturday
in
the win.
They didn't need to. I was going to ask you, Barry, did you watch any of that game? Because, you know, I had a little skin in the game on Wisconsin, but I've never seen anything like that. Purdue minus 10 rushing yards, Wisconsin 290 rushing yards.
So it's a pretty big gap right there.
That's a big gap. I did not watch any of the game. I will watch it at some point. I have not watched it yet. But, yes, it will definitely – it'll be a much different style than we've seen. But it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. You guys got to appreciate the atmosphere. I
mean, oh, absolutely.
I feel like y'all are kind of hating on this.
No. We're kidding with you. Listen, when you click on Wisconsin passing cut up and you think the link's not working, it's just there's nothing in that file. Just skip over that.
It's an empty file.
Did not send me the passing cutups. Oh, yeah, we sent them to you.
That's right. But, yes, you are right, Brown, that our schedule is determined before the season. And in November we have two games that we can choose from. That's how it works. So, you know, it's a whole different rights packages. It has nothing to do with TV. So we have Fox games sometimes. But we're competing against Westwood One and IMG Learfield and Compass and all these different people that – I want radio games. So, you got to get in there and battle and figure out which games you can grab. And, again, these decisions come from way above me. And the only decision I occasionally get to advise on are which games in November to take from the two and which ones to send the B crew to.
Well, my apologizes to Jimmy, who never hired me, that I could do his job, but I didn't know you had to battle with Learfield and all those people,
oh, yeah,
too. I just figured you guys were ESPN. You go anywhere you wanted to go.
Well, I mean, is that how it works on TV? I mean, they just get whatever game they want to get. I mean, they, you know, this Fox has some say in that. No, I mean, CBS. No.
They should. If I was in charge, that would be the way I'd negotiate it.
Yeah, right. Yes.
You must just have an unlimited piggy bank, Jim.
Yeah,
I know. I've heard what you guys are making on this show. It must be even more than I expected.
You got to come by and see our place, though.
I will. Next time I'm in Birmingham, I'll come by and see the place. And, you know, it'll be good. We can order lunch in and talk about football for 3 hours.
Yeah, absolutely. Go play golf. All right, he is Barry Jones.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, now we're talking. Wisconsin and Iowa in the Big Ten, 11 o'clock. You can hear it on ESPN Radio Saturday. Barrett, thank you for the time, man. Always fun talking with you, buddy.
Thanks, guys. See you.
All right, go jump around. Barrett with us on the Pepsi Hotline. My bad on that.